This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wow, what a great audience. Weren't they too much?
They were really out of sight. I bet we could have stayed out there taking bows all night.
Danny, there's more to life than taking bows.
Not when you're an egomaniac with grease paint in your blood.
It's not grease paint anymore. It's pancake. And it's not in your blood. As a matter of fact, most of it's on the front of your shirt.
Showing you're talented, who needs to be neat?
The Don and Mike Show. It is the sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Welcome.
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 Let me put my regular headphones up. Do we have David Cassidy on the phone now?
On the phone right now. Hey, David.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you. We were talking. You must do so many of these interviews. We must be like every goddamn frickin' frack to you. But I don't know if we've...
No, I wasn't thinking frickin' frack.
But I don't know if we've ever had the opportunity.
I did hear... I hadn't heard a thing except for about 5 seconds I heard Danny say... Not if you're an egomaniac like Keith or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was one of our
partners. That's all I heard.
One of our partners.
Evidently, you were playing some of my early work.
Yeah, now, you know, we have never had you. I don't think we've ever
yes,
talked to
Yes, I think we've had David. I think David Cassidy has been on the show before.
I think I have, too.
I think David Cassidy may have. Has he been in the studio
Maybe
with us?
Maybe when we had a morning zoo.
Ah, yeah, back when we did
I probably slurped him then. Anyway,
that's right.
You're a good guy, David Cassidy, because you've not fallen down that slippery slope that others have. We won't mention their names, but we have not. You got a new record out that we're going to push, and gosh, you got a book out, and you got a huge schlong. Really, now this is true. Listen to this.
Welch is big in the world.
From David Cassidy's book.
Okay.
The Legend of Donk. That's what he calls his.
That's
name.
The name of your book.
Donk is the nickname
it's
for
Donk.
His.
Donk?
D-O-N-K.
It's a nickname my brother Sean came up with.
It sounds like something that would have been created by young people.
According to his book,
it's a loving brotherly, I call him Zig, he calls me Donk, we call Patrick Pump, he spends most of his time in the gym.
Listen.
The rest goes... unnoticed. But have I told you I have a new CD out at Target?
Yes, hold on. I
it's
promise
called Part 2, the remix.
We're going to go through these cuts. Can I just read from your book? In David's autobiography, he says, quote, the first time I met
What's
Gina...
What's the title of that biography, by the way?
Yeah, you've got to plug his book.
Could it be forever?
Could it be forever?
David, I promise, we'll plug.
We're going to plug everything.
You guys are in Washington, more or less, aren't you?
Well, a little more than less.
these days, yeah. And
I have not seen you probably in, I'm going to say, how long ago did they blow up the zoos, those morning zoos?
Oh, that was about 15 years ago, probably.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, that's
I
when
think when Lying to Myself was out, I came through and we zooed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had slushy or something.
Some zoo fun.
Did we send you across the street to the 7-Eleven?
I think you did, yeah.
See, that's really how we date it, because we did that with a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand.
And I know that back then we could not have said on the radio that in his new book, David Cassidy says, the first time I met Gina Lola Brigida, she looked me up and down and said, I hear you're a monster. I want to meet the monster.
Wow.
I decided if I had it, there wasn't any point in keeping it in the holster all the time.
And this was with Gina Lola Brigida?
Right. I was referring to my guitar, of course.
No, you weren't. You were talking about your donk.
You know,
your big old
she
donk.
Was, she was doing a book on famous men. And I was actually in her book. She took a bunch of photographs. And when I played Melbourne Cricket Grounds, it was in Australia, after we did some photographs, she said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I'm playing the Melbourne Cricket Grounds. Would you like to come? So she came in, and we were in the, like, where the football cricketers are. And I invited her to come out in the center of Melbourne Cricket Grounds in front of, like, 70,000 people. And she introduced me. And this stunned the crowd who... At the time, most of them, the average age was probably 13 or 14.
Oh, no.
I'd never heard of her. Had no idea who she was.
And did she say
probably
anything?
Probably most of the audience that are listening to us today.
Did she reference any part of you when she introduced you?
No. She just said, here's the monster. And
here's the monster.
Well, now that you've shared that with us.
Let's not digress.
All right, listen. You're a good man. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to say this book is going to be, I read your book is going to be released in England.
It's actually out this week in the UK. It's coming out in Australia and Canada next month, and it's available on Amazon.uk, I think.
Beautiful.
And it will be out in the States probably in summer and fall.
Is there a reason you release it first in the UK?
No, it's just the deal that we made was with Headline Books, who did Hillary Clinton's book, and they've done some great major people's autobiographies, and they're there in the UK, and as usually happens, it's released not simultaneously around the world, especially if you're not like a well-known author.
But you are, David. Once the word of Donk gets out,
mm-hmm.
Donk.
Well, my brother Sean and my most of my family, I'm known as Uncle Donk.
Uncle Donk.
Uncle Donk.
Yes, it's Father Time. Anyway,
let's move on to the happy part.
I told you I have a new CD.
Yes, I got it here. Now I'm going to slurp you about the CD.
Have you listened to it? Have you heard it?
Yes, I have. And here's the
play a little clip of it so they know what we're talking about.
Trust me, I will.
Sure we will. But let's talk about your book.
We're talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to play some of your CD. We are.
David, we have plenty of time. Okay, do we have to prove it? Do we have to play the CD first?
Would you like us to play the CD first before we ask you any other questions?
I believe I've been on the morning zoo, and I believe don't worry, dude. We'd be happy to play here.
Dude, hold on a second.
David, we are. You need to trust us.
We are really past the morning zoo thing. I mean, we are so far past all that crap. Really. What I was going to say about the Partridge Family is that what a lot of people don't know about the Partridge Family was that it was David Cassidy with, in my humble opinion back in the day, the best studio musicians that were in Hollywood.
I believe they were the best studio musicians in the world, and I still think they are. Al Blaine probably played on more hits, who was our leader and our drummer. Larry Carlton was my guitar player. Jim Gordon from Derek and the Dominoes sometimes played drums. It's a phenomenal band. Some of the greatest players of all time. And
so I was going to lead into, before you thought we were going on a morning zoo thing and played your record, that your new album is different versions of your take on a lot of the Partridge Family songs. A lot of the Partridge Family songs I love, like I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
Yep.
I'll Meet You Halfway.
I'd love to hear that.
And then you have like the Andy Kim song, Rock Me Baby.
No, it's not that's the David Cassidy, the title of.
Excuse
not
me.
Not Andy Kim.
That would be well.
Rock Me Baby is my version. It's definitely a single.
I'm sorry. Well, okay. If I said Cherish by the Association, I know that you also did a version of Cherish that was out on Bell Records.
That's correct.
I know that.
That was my first solo album.
Okay, if I referenced it as a song by the Association, I would simply be saying it was a song by the Association redone by David Cassidy, who I guess has a bigger inferiority complex than I do. So let's play a cut.
All right, we're going to play. Can we play? What's that first one you mentioned? I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
All right.
Can I hear that one?
I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
Right.
Cut number one, two. Damn, where are my glasses? I'm not kidding you this time. I am not kidding you this time.
Rob, do you know which cut that is? Six.
Three, four, five, six.
Cut six.
David Cassidy. See, wait, you thought we were going to dick around with you, right, David?
Last night, I cleaned out the electric down and thought about you. I thought about the way that it could be. 5 o'clock. Wondering what I'm doing here alone without you. I close my eyes and dream you're here to me.
Boom, boom, boom.
I woke up in love this morning. I woke up in love this morning. Went to sleep with you on my mind.
See?
Little, David, little techno influence there?
Well, you know, it's produced by Craig Jay, who's done Mariah Carey,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of contemporary stuff. He also did that that enormous hit that Cher had a couple years ago.
Believe,
I think.
Do you believe in love?
Believe in love.
See,
David, we're not goofing you. Here's another good one to hear of this album. If you remember the theme song to the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, get happy.
Come on,
buddy. Get happy with the donk. You're listening to the Donkster.
Hello, world. Song I'm singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing to make you happy. We had a dream. We go shout together. We love and we keep
da, da, da. You like that one?
Yeah. I love all of them.
What is your favorite? You must have a favorite. I know you hate to answer that.
Yeah. I would not have gone in and re-recorded and re-sung all of them if I didn't love them. And I'm really proud of the fact that not only do we sell over 25 million records, but millions of people all over the world have enjoyed the fact that the Partridge Family has carried on and is on TV Land and Nick at Night and all the rest of it. And I think people's misconception about me and my take on it was after I finished it, I just didn't want to do it again. So people thought, I guess, he obviously doesn't like it or didn't. I loved it. I loved the people I worked with. And
but was there a time in your life, really, where you said, okay, I've got to really totally embrace the past and
I
realize
did.
You did. You okay? Because there's been a lot written and a lot said that would indicate otherwise.
What
that
about when you were on Rolling Stone, dude?
What about it?
You were so anti-Keith Partridge.
Yeah, but it was just me. I was 23 playing 16, and there was an enormous difference.
I mean, David, that's how queer
when
I am.
When I was 16, I went and saw the Velvet Underground and B.B. King and the Doors. And, I saw Hendrix five times.
See, dude, the rap on you back then was, as being a layperson, someone who was just watching you on TV and listening to records and then getting into radio, was that the David Cassidy back then was not happy being put in this box as Keith Partridge, and you desperately wanted to rock out, and there were stories that you would be pissed off before you'd have to go on stage and sing your songs.
Never pissed off. That's, again, something that can be twisted when you say, I really don't want to do this as a 24-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 35-year-old. I want to be able to do other work. Unfortunately for me, my career is, in the last 15 years, has really flourished from being a producer and a writer. Playing in Vegas, I did over 2,000 shows there and produced 3 shows. I've been on Broadway. It's been a wonderful journey for me.
Which is a more exhausting schedule, doing Vegas or doing Broadway? Because I know you work almost equally hard, right?
On what you're doing. I mean, the show I did on Broadway in 1994-95 with my brother Sean, called Blood Brothers, was probably the best experience I ever had professionally, because I got to work with him and Willie Russell, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning, Oscar winning writer, wrote it, and I got to work with some of the best actors I've ever worked with, including some of the best singers as well. But
did you say that Sean is the one that gave you the nickname for
Donk? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you back on Donk again?
Well, I'm just wondering, I know you guys were close brothers, but how does that happen?
Sorry?
That your brother gives
a
nickname, but he gave you...
the world. When you're kids, you're growing up and
But was the nickname for you, or was the nickname for your genitals?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, see, I don't know
where you got that idea.
Well, from your book.
That is absolutely not true.
All right.
I'm into horses. I've been breeding horses for a long time, which is why it's donkey.
We're dancing around this. I so wish that we could get to
that. You are hung like a donkey.
Have you heard about my new CD that's out there?
Your brothers call you Donk because of your massive...
Hey, guys, honest to God, I would love to hang and chat with you some more, and I mean sincerely. I love the fact that you played it, and I want to thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.